Ramsey TV.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I did two big shows over the weekend, extra shows, MZ TV 588 and 589. If you haven't watched those yet, please do that before you go into this video. Number 590, I am dealing with an important topic here, namely the compromising of the Gospel of Paul, mixing it with foreign elements such as law, doing it subtly, not overtly. No one from these other camps are saying, we need to do the law of Moses, but they're going at it indirectly. That's what snakes in the grass do. They hide behind the grass. They're in the grass. Why aren't they out in the open? Because they know that they can't, I mean, they love law, but they know that they can't come out and overtly say, we have to do law, but they come through the back door. I've been promising you a critique of a tape made by a YouTube video made by Thomas Kissinger reading a pamphlet of Stephen E. Jones, who is a hardcore Israel guy, loves the law, likes to trace his genealogy, as all wannabe Israelites do. They might be actual Israelites. It doesn't matter to me what they are. But they're in opposition to the grace of God they're actually in opposition to justification apart from works of law. They say it, they mouth those words, but they don't know what justification means because they claim, I'm going to show you this, that someone who's justified can also come under the condemnation of Christ, if you can believe it. So I want to say this before we go into the tape, that someone who teaches the salvation of all is not necessarily teaching the gospel. Because the salvation of all humanity, as great of a truth as that is, that's not the gospel. No, it's not. It's not. You can believe in the salvation of all just for sport. You can. The universalists and the Unitarians, they believe it, but there's no foundation on the cross of Christ, and they have no idea where it comes from. Universalists, Unitarians, one group thinks that God is too good. God is just too good, too nice to damn most of the human race. The other group thinks that the human race is just too good to be damned. Neither one of these camps focus on the reason that all are saved, which is the cross of Christ. Paul says, I decided to know nothing among you except Christ Jesus and him crucified. The evangel is the death, the entombment, and the resurrection, the death for sin, the death of Christ for sin, his entombment and his resurrection. Do you hear anything there about the salvation of all? No. Jerry Boschman heralds the salvation of all, but he does not know the gospel of Paul. I don't even know if he knows the circumcision gospel, but he loves the salvation of all. I'm glad he's out there teaching it. Don't get me wrong. Many people have come to the truth of the salvation of all through Jerry Boschman's book, Hope Beyond Hell. It's not hope, by the way. It's expectation. I hate that word, hope. Hope, yeah, we have hope. There's hope. No, it's an expectation. But still, I can't be too critical of the book. It's brought many into that knowledge, but it's not the gospel. Many people think that if they believe in the salvation of all, then that's the gospel, that's saving faith. No, 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 it sure is not. Tent maker, Gary Amaral. I've met both of these guys, by the way. Gary Amaral, same thing. Great teacher, tent maker. That's his handle. Great teacher on the salvation of all. Doesn't know the gospel of Paul. Doesn't know it. You don't go to this guy for Aeonian life. No, you don't go to Jerry Boschman or Gary Amaral for Aeonian life. You might go to Stephen Jones for Aeonian life if you want to get into the thousand-year kingdom on the earth. My objection with kingdom teaching, that is Israel teaching, that is we're going to rule and reign on the earth teaching because people love the earth because it's what they're familiar with. They don't trust God, that the heavens are magnificent, that they don't trust God to be changed, made immortal, and go to a different realm, because they don't know that realm. They're comfortable here on Earth. They like their own ideas, thank you very much, and Earth is cozy to them. Alan Hess, Earth is cozy to him. I don't see that he says that the saints will go to heaven. Why, Alan? Why? Because there's no evidence in the scripture. Now, because he's familiar with Earth, he likes Earth. You smell it, see the little birdies, see the lizards, see all the animals where the buffalo roam and the deer and the antelope play, and you're very familiar with it, and so you don't trust God to take it to another realm because that's too scary. To some people, going into the celestial realm is about as scary as death. It's that unknown to them. Nobody wants to die, and nobody wants to go to the celestial realm. Where's the trust of God? I'm ready to stage dive into the celestial realm. I don't care what it looks like, what it is. All I know is it's magnificent. Paul says our realm is inherent there in the heavens, and we are seated among the celestials in Christ. I quoted a verse from Ephesians yesterday concerning in the celestials. So, you know, people don't know what it is. I don't care. I trust God. Just throw myself I'll stage dive into God's promises. Stage dive. Do I need to see it all? Do I need to understand it all? No, I just stage dive with my eyes open, eyes wide open. Stage dive. Jump into the declaration of God. Trusting Him. Same with death. Think about it. Same with death. You jump, you stage dive into death. People who are faced with death, they can't come back and tell us how it was, except for Lazarus, maybe. I would like to have interviewed him. If I'd have been around, I would have taken my camera, my computer, over to Lazarus's house and interviewed him. Like, how'd you feel when you were sick and your friend Jesus wasn't coming right away? Were you mad? Were you upset? Were you scared of death? I would be. Fucking A, man. I'd be scared of death. Okay, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Thomas Kissinger. I'm going to be turning my microphone around. It's going to be a little awkward. I don't have a high-tech production here. I'm in my kitchen. This towel's bothering me. Towel's not straight. Either I straighten this towel up or I get rid of it completely, which I thought I'll straighten it up. Give it a nice fold there. Give it a crease. All right. I'm going to replace it here, maybe, possibly. Does everybody feel bad? Oh, I don't like that tag showing. I can't live with that. I'm sorry. Here we go. Going to turn it around. Can't have tags. Can't have tags. All right. I have a low-tech production here in my kitchen, so I'm just going to be taking my camera, aiming it at the computer screen. As I do that, I can't really see what I'm showing you, but let me start. It'll be entertaining anyway, I'm sure of that. Sure of that. Hang on, let me get this to the right spot here. All right. I'm going to comment as I go. As you can imagine, we're going to get some rumbling on the microphone as I try to accomplish this amazing technological feat. Let's begin.
James's teaching tells us that on the feast of Passover, Israel received the revelation that they were to kill a lamb and put the blood on the doorpost and lintels of their homes or houses. Hearing that word was not enough. They had to act upon it in order to save their firstborn sons from death. Thus, obedience is the result of faith. And without obedience, there is no genuine faith at all.
Well, if I can comment on that, I would sure appreciate your indulgence. You notice what he said there. First, he's quoting an incident from Israel's history. Why? Because that's the template for these people. The law, not Paul, the law, the old covenant. And the old covenant, it was necessary to obey, absolutely necessary. You had to obey. You heard Kissinger just say, quoting Stephen Jones, that obedience followed the proclamation. The proclamation was put the blood on the lintels of your door or else you're going to die. Okay, fair enough. In that situation, the people could believe that declaration, but unless they did something about it, they were doomed. But then when he says, without obedience, there is no legitimate faith. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's the lie. He starts with the truth. That's why he's a snake in the grass, Stephen Jones is, because Kissinger's just reading it, but obviously he believes it. Earlier, I'm not going to play it because it's the same old song and dance. Earlier, he said that James and Paul were in perfect agreement. James saying that without works, faith is dead. Yeah, faith is dead. Kissinger, wear a faith is dead t-shirt. Show us exactly what you believe. Don't be in the grass anymore. Get out on the sidewalk. Sun yourself. Faith is dead. Let's hear it. Faith is dead. James insists that without works, faith is dead. Paul says, no. We're saved by faith apart from works. Seems like they're saying different things. No, but these anathema teachers, these devoted to destruction teachers, they mix James in with Paul, try to somehow fit the square peg into the round hole, making fools of themselves in the process, but it has to be pointed out to you because other people think, well, this sounds pretty smart. No, it's not. It's not smart. Obedience must follow. Let me ask you this. If somebody believes the evangel, legitimate on the day, remember yesterday, watch 589, MZTV number 589. What if somebody legitimately believes the evangel? And 30 minutes later, they die. But in that 30 minutes, they had an opportunity to help an old lady across the street, but they didn't do it. In fact, they're sitting there. They've just believed. They're like glorying in Christ. And now they're ready to cross the street. There's an old lady going across the street. And they think, maybe I should help her. She needs help. Nah, hell with that. I'm not going to help her. And in the meantime, that car that might hit the old lady comes and hits that person. Boom, they're dead. Obedience did not follow. Is that person not saved? Was their faith not genuine because they didn't follow it with something? No, by faith alone, we are saved for aeonian life. Faith alone. To say that if it doesn't follow that you're obedient, if you don't do this, it proves that your faith was illegitimate. That is BS. Faith stands alone. Now, if it's legitimate faith, and let's assume that it is, because it is in my example here, then it will follow that the Spirit of God, which caused the faith, will also cause fruit to spring up. But it'll be a natural result of it. It won't happen every single time. Paul says we're growing in the growth of God. You can't hurry. You can't hurry love. No, you just have to wait. Love don't come easy. It's a game of give and take. The growth of God develops as we grow. It doesn't happen all at once. Right after you believe, you may still be involved in some terrible sin. You might be screwing your mother-in-law. So you might screw your mother-in-law another couple times. Maybe just, got to get it out of your system. I don't recommend it. So it's terrible, but I'm sorry, but the faith is legitimate. And you'll eventually stop screwing your mother-in-law and because, the Spirit will convict you. But it's not that if that doesn't happen, like right away, or at all for that matter, then that faith was illegitimate. That's a lie. That's a teaching from the circumcision. I'm not even sure it's true in the circumcision. It was true in that specific instance at the first Passover. But hell's bells, I don't even know if that's completely true in the circumcision. Let's continue with the lies, the subtle lies. Snake in the grass. Here we go. I've discovered infinity, ladies and gentlemen. Look at this. What is this? I've discovered infinity. Hang on, let me toggle over here. There he is. And action.
Without obedience, there is no genuine faith at all.
Bull crap.
If you have been justified by faith and believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose again for your justification, then you have begun your journey to the promised land.
You've only begun your journey into the promised land. Okay, let's hear the man out. If you've been justified by faith, you've begun your journey. Okay, so I might be able to defend that. Here we go.
You have left Egypt, the place where you were in bondage to your sin. You are now part of the congregation church, even as those who left Egypt on Passover were part of the church in the wilderness. This means you are now a citizen of the kingdom.
Sounds good so far.
Now a citizen of the kingdom. The citizens under Moses were allowed to enter the outer court of the tabernacle. There were three parts in the
tabernacle. Oh! You're a citizen of the kingdom if you're justified by faith. He's talking about justification. You're a citizen of the kingdom, but that only gets you to the outer court. God damn this teaching. God damn this teaching. It's anathema, and this man is anathema. Stephen Jones is anathema for daring to say that someone who is justified by faith apart from works of law is not granted access with confidence to the Father, using his analogy, in the Holy of Holies. He is saying that justification by faith gets you into the outer court. You're still not there, because according to Mr. Israel here, you have to become a true blue Israelite. You have to get past that. This is his analogy. You have to get past the outer court. You're still in there. Even the court of the priests, the court of the women, even if you get past the sorig, that is the retaining wall or the dividing wall, whatever, and you get in there, you're maybe with the priests, you're mingling with Israelites at least. Maybe that's what he's saying, you're mingling with Israelites, but the point is, you're still not in the presence of God. You got more to go, you're just on your way. You're on your way after faith, being justified, which, as I told you yesterday, being justified is being declared righteous by God. In that situation, according to this dude who's reading Stephen Jones, it's only the beginning. You're not yet in the presence of God. Is this a good time to tell you that, let's finish this section. I'm going to tell you how, yes, you are in the presence of God, that this Israel analogy, in this case, it sucks. It doesn't apply to the body of Christ. It might apply to Israel and the kingdom, but it doesn't apply to the body of Christ. And here we go, ladies and gentlemen, back to Thomas Kissinger reading Stephen E. Jones. There we go.
Tabernacle of Moses, the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. When considering ourselves to be the temple of God, these three parts of the tabernacle correspond to body, soul, and spirit.
Says who?
But we may also view these three parts in terms of our place in the kingdom.
Mm.
We can be a citizen, a priest, and body of the high priest.
What?
Today we are
priest.
Of a Melchizedek priesthood.
No, we're not.
Not a Levitical priesthood.
You might be.
Once you have left Egypt and become a citizen of the kingdom, you are eligible to go to Mount Sinai.
Oh,
Mount Sinai. Experience Pentecost.
Oh, that'll be fun.
This is sometimes referred to as a second work of grace in our lives.
Second work of grace to go to Mount Sinai? That's the next step, to go to Mount Sinai? A second work of grace? Hello, the camera's all over the place. I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm just concentrating on the information. A second work of grace to go to Mount Sinai. Now you're qualified. Now, after you have been justified by faith, given the righteousness of God, now, only now, are you qualified to approach the hallowed foothills of Mount Sinai, which is the covenant of bondage, the old covenant. Yeah, that only then are you eligible. So being justified by faith, you heard him say that, that's the beginning. That's only the beginning. It gets you the opportunity now. Gives you a ticket to the next level, and the next level is you approach Mount Sinai. Now you're in really good Israel stuff, man. You weren't even at the law yet. Now you can at least, now you're at the foothills of Mount Sinai. You just heard him say that. After justification by faith, the Spirit of God is in you, and it causes things to begin to happen. Yes, there is a growth after you believe. But that's not what this man is saying. It's not what Stephen Jones is saying. He's saying that there must be obedience, not natural fruit, not a natural growth in the growth of God, but there must be obedience. And if there's not, then the faith is illegitimate. There never was faith. But faith stands alone apart from works of law, according to Paul. This guy's got to leave Paul completely out of it. And yet he brings up justification by faith, which makes his evangel anathema devoted to destruction. It's non-evangel. It makes him devoted to destruction. Both these men are devoted to destruction. I mean, their message is terrible. It's mixed. Keep Paul out of it. If you're going to teach Israel, teach law. Go whole hog on the law, please. Don't bring Paul in. That's when you get into this devoted to destruction business. Read Galatians chapter 1. Saying that with the Holy Spirit in you that causes the belief that you will produce fruit. I'm all for that. I encourage it. That's in the growth of God. Of course, that's going to happen. But to say that unless that happens, and we're going to monitor it, and we're going to check on you and make sure it happens, and if we don't see it happening in accord with our standards, which are the law of Moses, whether they like to say it out loud or not, which they don't, because there's snakes in the grass, if we don't find that it's in accord with our standards, then your faith was illegitimate. Your faith in the death of Christ was illegitimate if we don't have proof. We have to have freaking proof. Proof? Where's the faith? If you have to have proof, where's the faith? We have to see it. See, typical Israelite, we got to see it or it's not true. Thomas, unless I put my finger in his wound, nail print, unless I put my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe it. Kissinger, Jones, unless we see you helping old ladies across the road, unless we see you obeying the law in accord with our standards or even God's standards, then we're going to judge based on sight, based on physical evidence, based on secret cameras placed around your house or placed on the road or whatever the hell they do to prove that you have works. Unless we see that, then we're not going to trust that invisible faith you had in God was legitimate. In fact, we will emphatically declare that it was not legitimate. How dare you take a beautiful thing called faith and subject it to physical evidence? That's an Israelite thing. That's an Israelite thing. Because faith is not the thing with them that it is with us. It's still necessary, yes, but with us, we have faith in something that we didn't see, the death, the entombment, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we're walking by faith, not perception. That is what distinguishes one of the things that distinguishes Paul's gospel from the circumcision. Faith, apart from perception. We're walking by faith, not by perception. These guys are walking by perception. Who is the standard? Jones? Kissinger? Who's the standard to decide if someone is doing the right thing? James? James says, if you tell somebody to stay warm, but you don't give them a pair of mittens, then you suck and your faith isn't legitimate. Okay, put on the mitten cam. Here's this guy. He's not giving this person mittens. Telling him to stay warm, but nah, no mittens for you. Oh, his faith wasn't genuine. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You snakes in the grass. Flee from this. I'm not done. Going to go over the rest of it tomorrow. I got to show you. I'm going to play part of that again because I didn't get into how we have access with confidence to the Father now. This whole thing where you're beginning your path at justification by faith, and you're in the outer court. Congratulations. Yeah, you're out there with the women. You're out there maybe, you know, one step removed from a complete freaking heathen, but you're not in the holy place. In fact, you haven't even entered the temple proper yet. You're still in the courtyards. After being given the righteousness of God, you're still in the courtyards. How would you like to have access to God himself? How would you like to go into the Holy of Holies? Well, you got to go to the foot of Mount Sinai first. And then according to our program, which I think is a convoluted version of Israel's program, you must obey. You must come to Mount Sinai. You must do your part. You must show evidence. And then we will let you have access to God. Then you're in the holy. Finally, you've done works according to our standards. Now you're in the holy of holies. Yeah, you finally, you get into the sanctuary. You get past the showbread, the altar of incense. Ooh, now you're into the Shekinah glory. But I tell you this, people, you are in it. You have access with confidence to the Father. I'm going to give you a feast. You can go there ahead of time now. I'm going to get into it tomorrow. I'm going to show some of this shit again and then comment. Ephesians 2, 13, 18, Ephesians 3, 6 through 12, we have access on the day we believe. On the day we believe, we are delivered into the presence of God. The tabernacle system only foreshadowed. Now we have the reality. But these people are still playing with the shadow. Ooh, I like to crawl around in the shadows. No. We're shedding light on the truth that comes to us via Paul's gospel and not via Mount Sinai.